You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
So my prom back in 2000 was catered by Olive Garden.
And I wore
a really iridescent like vest that was like purpley.
Did you and your class feel like family?
Well, only because we were so small. But what was really cool, we were so progressive in South Texas because we nominated the only lesbian and the only gay guy because I wasn't out yet. And we nominated them as a prom king and prom queen, and of course they won. Oh, and they did their dance and switched crowns because they were both wearing tuxes. It was beautiful. Well, yeah. So yeah, we had, like I said, we had Olive Garden, and it was at the Holiday Inn.
This is getting sadder by the moment.
My point was, I had a better time there than watching this overblown, colorful monstrosity that is Ryan Murphy's The Prom. Which was lucky to get the cast that it got. And, you know, these are all big names. You all recognize all of them. Meryl Streep, Nicole Kidman, James Corden, Andrew Reynolds, who might as well just not even be in the movie because he's so pointless. Yeah, this was everything I was hoping it wouldn't be, but kind of was suspecting it would. But, while I just stand over here and just seethe with rage, I'm going to let... someone else on this review, because I am not alone. By the way, I'm Frank, and with me, I've got Max.
Hello.
Harmony.
Hello.
And Jordan, who is going to very eloquently lay out the plot of this horrendous film.
Why, yes. It's a tale as old as time. And by old, I mean sadly still fucking relevant. Because we are following Emma Nolan, played by newcomer Jo Ellen Pellman. Who is a lesbian girl living in the wonderful... Okay, I can't... Okay, that bit's dead. She's living in Indiana. She's out, wants to take her girlfriend to prom. PTA is like, well, we could just say yes, but fuck you, we're going to cancel and make you a social pariah. Meanwhile, this gets the attention of... narcissistic, and I'm saying that in bold italics, all caps, Broadway actors Dee Dee Allen and Barry Glickman, played by Meryl Streep and James Corden, are reeling from their newest box office flop, Eleanor, the Eleanor Roosevelt musical, and see this, along with two other Broadway companions, played by Andrew Rennes and Nicole Kidman, and think, yes, we will lunge onto this. We're going to go down to Edgewater, Indiana, and help her. And then they proceed to make things worse.
Actually, it looks like L.A., but we'll just say it's Indiana.
Wait. Are you telling me palm trees are not native to Indiana?
That's a hard no, man. Surprised they had as much sun as they did in that movie.
And, you know... this movie did remind me of prom, or how fun it might have been if I actually went, or if I actually gave a shit about my prom, because, yeah, fuck that shit. You know what my best prom memory is? That princess prom episode of She-Ra and the Princess's
That
Power.
Was amazing. That's it. Good prom.
Well, yeah, no, well put. So anybody, you know, this is a really high profile movie and it's got a lot of big names attached. This is adapted, not written, but adapted by Ryan Murphy, who also directed here. And of course, he's known, I mean, he's got a laundry list of titles, Glee, Nip Tuck, of course, American Horror Story, really, really put him on an even higher map than he already was. But he has directed before and he's directed... some really great films, all of which are based on true stories. Mm. Eat, Pray, Love, Oh, I'm blanking now. Stranger Than Fiction. Not Stranger Than Fiction. Running With Scissors.
Yeah.
The Normal Heart, which is, you know, like, you know, really, a really solid adaptation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like,
but
it was around that time where I'm still teetering on the line between how much I do like Ryan Murphy and, you know, obviously what I don't like about
his
style.
I think I was, too. I think that was.
Yeah, The Normal Heart hit me like, God damn.
Yeah, I know.
This movie's great.
Like, damn you.
Then season four of Glee happened, and I was like, fuck this.
Well, Feud happened for me, and certain parts of American Horror Story, and then Hollywood, and anybody. I mean, there are people that we review with who are purposely, like, waiting for this review to come out because they want to see me just, you know, just really just bash Ryan Murphy again after Hollywood.
You're just so bitter about it, I think.
I'm so bitter because what I'm bitter about with The Prom, really, is that it... For me, he ends up in his directing this material, and it's badly staged. It's badly acted. I mean, not badly acted, but just, you know, badly paced. It's the musical numbers are. I mean, he choreographs like a football coach on a chalkboard. I mean, he just doesn't really have the finesse for it. And I think he ends up doing with this movie what the characters believe they are doing, going into Indiana, and it just really it's like. You're more concerned about the splash and the pizzazz than you are about
substance and real stuff.
What did you all think of this? Because it's clear that I wasn't that much of a fan.
I owe Will and Grace an apology.
For what?
Because Gay Face wasn't that bad in hindsight. Just Jesus fucking Christ. I'll get this out of the way. Ugh, what performances did I like? Okay, honestly, loved Jo Ellen Pellman. She is a newcomer. And she knocked it out of the park.
She is darling. Yeah. Yeah. I love her in those. Yeah.
Meryl Streep, I kind of like because there's a scene where it's like, do you know who I am? Pull out a Tony Award. You remember now? You can only do that with Meryl Streep. Mm-hmm. You can only do that with Meryl Streep.
Well, and not Nicole hate Kidman. Her. And not hate her afterwards. Yeah.
Nicole Kidman, well, she was my aunt. Andrew Reynolds.
Reynolds.
Yeah. I'm always fucking that up. Sorry.
He's not important in this movie anyways. Might as well just, you can take him out. It's the same movie, only with less bad songs.
Yeah, I mean,
songs.
I liked him enough. James Corden, Tracy Ullman. What the shit?
That was my reaction to the whole, to anything that didn't have to do with, like, the kids in high school. It was like, what the shit is going on? Like, they could have taken all of the rest of, like, the older characters out of the movie completely. Like, Meryl Streep and all of her friends didn't need to be there at all. But, like, the kids in high school were great.
Right.
You thought that, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to just pummel their faces into the concrete. I mean, I just really just thought they were, well, the two girls were good.
Yeah, Shelby and the other one.
I liked her and her girlfriend, and I really liked all, like, the musical numbers that they did, too.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it was a totally different movie, like, depending on which scene it was
in. Yeah, that's the thing. The soundtrack in this movie is actually fucking great. Yeah. I'd not seen or heard in anything of the original The Prom. In fact, again, I was still kind of blind when I signed up for this.
Me too.
Then I was like, shit. It's Ryan Murphy directing. I've broken my curse. But yeah, the music's great. There are some really damn good songs. And then, you know, there's a song about one of the things I hate most in this world, fucking promposal.
It's promposal day.
Jesus. Shut the fuck up. I got that annoyed the shit out of me as much as actual promposals.
I had a flashback to high school and this kid that used to play violin really well. He just, like, in the middle of a school assembly, he started singing and playing violin to his girlfriend and, like, asked her out to prom.
Did she say no?
I had a massive, like, cringe flashback to that moment. Problem was, he was, like, really, really good at it. And it was kind of, it was a great song. It was just, like, embarrassing as fuck.
I don't, one, you're at a pep rally, which is pointless enough.
It is not pointless. It gets you out of class. It has a purpose.
Absolutely, it does. I went to 3 proms, okay? So I want to preference all this with that. I went to 3 proms. And
whoa,
so
look
I was
at
like,
you.
Really, yeah, I was, yeah, I, yeah.
Look at you. Proms.
My brother went to more. It's very weird. So for me, I was like, I was hoping for some nostalgia and some really good music. And I think I got that. The pacing of the film is just atrocious. Mm-hmm. So, like, there are times like, just get to a point at something, do something. And I I enjoyed Meryl Streep being Meryl Streep and Keegan-Michael Key. Like, I thought that was just an adorable.
Did you? Because I just thought, like, I thought he was miscast to the point where I just couldn't even look at the screen at some point. I was like, why didn't you call Kevin Klein or something? I mean, are you like, he can sing, he's on stage, and yep. They look good together.
That's true.
And it's like, I just, it was weird.
Was it the age difference?
It was totally the age difference. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I was kind of thinking about that, but then I just thought, you know what? I'm already halfway
like, sure,
for this.
Why not?
Fuck it.
Why not? I'll just go for the ride.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with Harmony. That is another problem with this movie. It is too long. And
oh my God.
Frank, I know you brought this up in our Slack, and that it's about the same length as Mank, which I just reviewed on this site. And here's the thing. Editing and pacing make a huge fucking difference. Because with Mank, I didn't feel it. I mean, it kind of felt like it, mainly because of how it was aping the Citizen Kane structure and such. But it kind of just flew by. This, I honestly had times where I was checking my watch and thinking, I should update it's time for a break.
time to take a break.
Yeah, I checked the time and it said an hour, and I was like, this feels like I watched an entire movie.
Ryan Murphy made a movie about roughly the same length as David's 60 Takes Fincher. I mean, let that sink in, folks.
So,
I mean,
yeah, it was contrived and trite and all that stuff, but the music was really pretty.
You see, that's really, that's where the disconnect is. You know, I got this. I remember when I got sent this, and I watched it. Wrote my really bad review, which I was my review for this that I wrote for my other site was so bad. I was exhausted afterwards. Like, I was tired after writing a review.
He's spent. All the vitriol and hatred just came out.
But the next morning, I looked at the soundtrack to listen to re-listen to a song, and I thought I listened to another song after that. I was like, oh, I don't remember that song. I don't remember that one. And I remember that one, and it was like listening to that whole soundtrack, which is only an hour, not that long, shorter than this fucking thing. But you know, it was an entirely different experience because it did tell the story well. It had humor and it had heart, as you know, at the same time, and it balanced the two, you know, pretty well. And man, this just goes to show you like how inept of, and I use that term with quotation marks, artist Ryan Murphy can be, because he's more interested in just what he wants to see, not what the heart of whatever story he's telling is. I feel
I do put the blame on Ryan Murphy, but also on the editor, because there was one specific point of this movie I was feeling its length, and it was the Love Thy Neighbor song. Like, when it ended, I saw that the time was like around 40 something minutes left. And then I was aware of the musical number listing. I was like, Jesus Christ, you're jamming all of that in there. There is no room to breathe. And I just, so I'm going to focus on my other problem, James Corden. I don't usually hate James Corden. I just think he's fine. I mean, then again, I did like his appearances on Doctor Who, and I enjoyed Gavin and Stacey over on the BBC.
Yeah, he was good in Doctor Who.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus Christ, this fucking movie. Again, I apologize to Will and Grace, all right? You are forgiven of perpetuating gay face and many stereotypes. This, Jesus, shit. Even the clothing is loud. He is wearing loud clothes.
Well, no, I'm wearing like an Abercrombie like red like waffle tee that's too big for me, and jeans I've had for 5 years. So no, not all gays are like that. I think that he epitomizes just how mishandled and misguided this movie is, and what Ryan Murphy thought he was doing with what the execution ended up being. And and it's written in every inch of Corden's performance, and you know, we saw the same we saw less backlash, but mainly in Cats, but mainly because Cats was so reviled. But I just don't think that Corden has that sort of screen presence, the big screen presence, anyways, which is a shame, because he's an engaging like late night talk show host. I like watching
Absolutely.
I like watching that show.
It's a big fan of BTS, so I've got to like that. I got BTS into a review.
There you go. Well done.
This movie is the epitome of a lot. I actually, honestly, kind of got exhausted watching it, and not just because of how of the length and pacing. It just like...
Especially as a member of the community.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know... You know, there is definitely two sides to the Ryan Murphy coin. There is the audacious, loud, cartoony side of him. But then there is also the other side where he can actually do some good human drama and introspective character work. And when he does the introspective character work here, like especially with Emma and her girlfriend, Alyssa, who is the daughter of
PTA.
The PTA, yeah. Which is Kerry Washington. It's like, that's actually good stuff.
And it's so hard to hate Kerry Washington, even though she's like a homophobic bigot. But Kerry, you're still
okay,
awesome.
Almost hate. Because then there's the cartoony side where it's like, we planned a second prom.
Let's go ahead and roll into a... final thoughts. Harmony, you want to go ahead and get us started?
Yeah, I'm big fan of the music. I think if it had been helmed by anybody else, it could have been much more entertaining. For what it was sweet and kind of over the top. And, you know, for me, I didn't feel like it was a waste of my time. So I'll say that about it. But like, I felt that the pacing was terrible, that I was just kind of ready to get to the next song. I was like, I don't really care about any of this talking in between anymore. You know, like they bungled it so badly that all I want to do is hear more of the music. And that's not necessarily what you always want from a musical, especially something like this, which is trying to tell an important story. So, you know, that's a bit of a bummer. I don't hate Ryan Murphy as much as maybe some other people do, apparently. Oh,
no,
God,
you
poor
do
Ryan
not.
Murphy.
I can know you do not.
I have a conflicted relationship.
You definitely do not. But,
I'm just like, you know, I like American Horror Story and I like Pose and, you know, I like his outlandish stuff and I like his stuff that's more introspective as well. All that being said, it's not a great time, but it was okay for sitting on my couch on a kind of windy, cold day the other day. So, with that, I'm going to give it, all I can think is promposal. I don't want to take that. I'm going to give it 5.6 out of 10 makeover montages.
All right. Yeah. We love those. Max, what about you?
Yeah, I had fun with it. I didn't think it was as bad as everybody said, but I think, again, it was like twice as long as it should have been. Because my favorite part, I love musicals. My favorite part of musicals is when the song tells enough of the plot to keep it going. Right. Like, I don't really need a whole lot of talking in between songs and musicals for the most part. And there was way too much talking in this movie, and it was just half of it was pointless. But like I said in the beginning, I think everything with like the older crew from the beginning of the movie, I didn't like. I liked pretty much everything that took place with the high school kids. And when they crossed together, it was kind of weird. It was like, it didn't really seem like they fit, the two movies fit very well that crossed together. But like the music was really good. The music reminded me a lot of La La Land, like the background music, the instrumentals. It just, I didn't like the singing that much, but I liked the tunes of
you
the music.
Like, you weren't impressed by Meryl's rap at the...
I fucking hate Meryl Streep and everything.
Did you guys hear that at the very end?
No.
That, you know, when they're all holding up the signs over the credits, there's that extra song that Wear Your Crown. Meryl Streep has a rap verse in there where she name drops Michelle Obama because apparently
that was Meryl Streep
assaulting Eleanor Roosevelt wasn't enough. So,
oh no,
sorry, Matt,
you know,
sorry,
I'll share my thoughts on that.
Continue, Matt. Sorry,
no, I can't stand Meryl Streep, but sorry. I thought it was the weirdest thing was the weirdest thing was James Corden because you guys were talking about Cats and he was like, He the way he walked in this movie was the same way he walked in Cats. It was this, like the same character. And I don't think James Corden is like the greatest singer either. Like, I've seen all the stuff he's done in his show when he's singing with other people that can actually sing.
Like carpool karaoke and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that and like all the stuff he does with like Harry Styles and random shit.
He's got such an obvious crush on Harry Styles. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Oh, I know. And it was weird. Like, I didn't feel like Nicole Kidman fit well in this movie either. It's just like, I felt like the casting of the older crew were just, they were just casted because of their star power instead of
for name
their
recognition,
singing ability. But the younger crew were fantastic. And I don't know. So I had fun with it enough to give it a 7.5 out of 10 sequin dresses, I guess.
No.
It was like, I'd recommend it. I'd recommend it for somebody just to get drunk and watch on Netflix randomly. Yeah. It's not a great movie, but it's fun.
I think we could all agree. This is the type of movie you're going to recommend to certain people you know. Like, in your life. Because I've told people that I've seen this, and they're like, oh, I need to watch it. I'm like, yeah. You should. Anyways, that's.
Yeah, and I signed up for it blindly. I just really like musicals, so I'll watch whatever. I was just curious, and I don't regret watching it.
That's fine. Jordan?
If anyone thinks they can personally recommend this to me, I'm going to question my relationship.
We're no longer friends if you recommend this movie to me.
We're no more friends.
I love I love musicals, too. God, I really do. This is the first. I don't remember the last musical I was this just
Mama
mixed
Mia.
About.
Mamma Mia. What?
Oh, I love Mamma Mia.
Oh no, that I didn't like outright.
Mamma Mia too.
But I finally saw a Meryl Streep musical that didn't have the looming fret of Pierce Brosnan
or green screen on it.
There is a good movie buried underneath a pile of loud glitter cannons. That is the best way I can describe it. There are some really, this is a damn good soundtrack, and there are some awesomely good performances. And I really do hope that this launches
Joe Ellen Pellman
to stardom. She is so fucking great, and I love her in that.
Oh, you mentioned that you love
end.
The tux, oh, yeah.
So,
oh.
So fucking gorgeous. I want one, and Nicole Kidman. God, I love her.
And her legs. Her legs. Each one is a co-star. May as well be.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, them gams.
Her face is weird looking now, though. I gotta say, it's getting weirder.
As someone who's closer to 40, I'm not gonna comment on that.
Look, I had more fun with her here than The Undoing. Okay.
Sorry.
God damn it. Back on track. Fuck promposals. This movie is so incredibly mixed. James Corden is awful. Writing is all over the place. Badly paced. God damn, it's a mess. I'm gonna give it, I'm trying to be fair. I think like a letter grade, I'd give it like a D+. So I think that rounds out somewhere to like 4 out of 10 DVD box sets of Talk to the Hand.
Well, this was a turd. It's a really, really colorful turd. And I think in my other review, I called it a cinematic toothache because it really is. It's just so saccharine and just so sugary sweet. And it's over the top. Ryan Murphy believes he's doing good, but then he's also doing it in such a misguided, tone-deaf way. This is a story that could have potentially changed some minds that are closed, but I think those minds won't give this the time of day because it is really loud, because it is really garish, because it is over the top, and it assaults you on all your senses that its message is, gets dwindled away as a result. And that's that's the Ryan Murphy touch, for better or worse, for something like this.
Are you trying to say that Ryan Murphy like contributes to like ongoing homophobia? Like, that's kind of what you're saying there.
But he is simultaneously the most powerful one of the most powerful members of the community in Hollywood, but mm-hmm. he's also one of our worst enemies, for lack of a better term, in that sense. You know, I was talking about a friend of mine, Hunter, and you know, I said to him after watching this, like, you know what Tyler Perry is to black culture, Ryan Murphy is to me and gay culture. Like, honestly, I just can't stand it. But anyway, yeah, I'm not gonna spend too much more time on this. I didn't like this. I wanted to. But I didn't. I said it before, watch the soundtrack. And, you know, that actually does what this movie thought it was going to do, but didn't. So what can I say? Ryan Murphy does it again. And I'm going to give this 5 because the cast actually was kind of good. 5 out of 10. You know what? Ryan Murphy name dropped Eleanor Roosevelt really badly. Michelle Obama. So I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 Rosalind Carters, because I'm actually writing a screenplay about her, and I will get the guts to email her some questions at some point. But when I do, it's going to be a whole lot better than this piece of shit.
All right. So this is why promposals are stupid.
It's promposal day.
God, fuck you.